Nelson McCausland. Nelson McCausland, why do you and others within the DUP appear to feel so threatened and so opposed to an Irish Language Act?
Well, there are two particular issues that I think come out very clearly from what the Culture Minister has just said. First is that an Irish Language Act would be incredibly expensive. I'm amazed that after all these years and all the research that has been done by her department in this matter, that she still cannot give us any indication as to the cost of it.
Yeah, but the cost is a bogus argument for your position. Well, it is, because if there was an endless pot of money, you would still be opposed to it, surely.
Well, first of all, let's deal with the issue, because we don't have an endless pot of money.
Yeah, but would you support it?
Sorry, let's deal with the issue of finance first of all. Let's get that out of the way. Then we'll move on to other things. If you look at the issue of cost and expense, you've only to look at the cost in Wales, and that's probably the best example. The fact is that she's already let the cat out of the bag. This is about a job creation scheme for translators. She said that there would have to be simultaneous translation in councils and elsewhere. People would have access to services in different companies and institutions and organisations in Irish. And therefore, people would only get access to those jobs if they spoke Irish. Now, some time ago in 2006, because we don't have to go back that far, but in 2006, Lawrence McCune, who was an IRA hunger striker, was involved in the production of a book for children in school. It was a book that was a biography of Bobby Sands, the IRA hunger striker, and it was written for Irish medium schools and other Irish-speaking children. And what he said in the course of an interview at that time was that the H blocks in the Mays prison contributed significantly to the revival of the Irish language. Many former IRA prisoners are today Irish language teachers and indeed principals of Irish language schools, which is testament to the role they have played upon release. I think quite clearly, Carolyn McKillen is simply looking at this and say, here's an opportunity to create jobs for the boys. There will be endless opportunities.
Yeah,
translators and companies will be coerced.
And she would totally reject that. But to go back to
I don't know where they're going to come from elsewhere.
But if you talk about cost, I mean, what you're saying is that if cost is a primary concern of yours, if there was an endless pot of money, you might be quite happy to support this. Well, is that what you're saying?
First of all, just to finalise that issue around the expense involved here. At a time when the health service is under pressure, when schools are under pressure, and the education minister is having to say, well, to schools, we will be cutting your budget next year, and it will mean fewer teachers in the classrooms, we'll be getting rid of so many hundreds and hundreds of teachers, all of that, against that background, to say, well, suddenly we'll take on all this additional expense, where is the money going to come from? Who is going to be robbed to pay for Sinn Féin's pet project?
Yes, but what I'm saying is, so if the money was there, you might support it.
Well, second thing is, of course, that this is divisive. It's not only expensive, it's divisive. It is something that is not wanted by the majority of people in Northern Ireland.
Well, the Minister says it's arrogant of you to assume that everybody in the community that you represent would actually hold the same view. So why not let people make their own mind up? Why not let them see it and decide for themselves?
Well, they will have an opportunity to do that. And of course, as we saw with an earlier consultation about the Irish language, there is now such a well-funded, out of public money, sector there within the Irish language sector. So many organisations that they were able to manufacture and organise and orchestrate a big response to a previous consultation. Sinn Féin has put a lot of effort over the years into building up an infrastructure, into building up organisations, many of them peopled with people who have a background in their own party or in its associated paramilitary organisation. They've got the organisation there,
But many don't. And the point is that the idea is, and the Minister has said, that there is misinformation being put out. She described them as scare tactics. She's saying, let the information go out, let people see it, let them read it for themselves from all communities and make their own mind up.
First of all, she is not going out to consult with information, because she has already stated she can't tell us how much it's going to cost. She can't even give you a ballpark figure as to what it's going to cost. So what sort of a consultation this is going to be, I do not know. It's absolutely incompetent.
What's the detail about what it's going to look like, not necessarily what it's going to cost?
Well, you don't go into anything. That would be absolute madness to run a department in any government on that basis. We're going to do something and we haven't a notion what it's going to cost. That's an absolute indictment of the minister out of her own lips. Now, the second thing about being divisive, Sinn Féin continue to politicise the Irish language. And we had a good example of that, not in 1982, but last summer, where Martin McGuinness went into a school in West Belfast and handed out certificates to children who had learned the, or who were learning Irish, and he handed out bursaries to children so that they could go on scholarships to the Gaeltacht. And they were pictured on them, the picture of who? Bobby Sands, the IRA hunger striker. So they're handing out Bobby Sands scholarships and Bobby Sands certificates to children learning Irish. This thing about it's for everybody. No. Sinn Féin continue to brand it as a Republican agenda. They continue themselves to claim it for their own, and they continue to use it to eulogise people like Bobby Sands, who were, yes, Irish speakers, but they were also IRA terrorists.
But that's an issue, surely, then, that could be raised in the public consultation, so that the consultation would be a good thing.
Look, I have no fears about a consultation at all, because I think it will expose.
But you said it's a waste of time.
It is a waste of time in that regard, because we're going into a consultation and already the minister has said, I don't know what it's going to cost. That's an indictment of the minister. It makes the whole thing a ridiculous situation.
You said that this is zero chance of success. It's futile. DUP in the past has said never no to many things. So how do people know that that position may not change on the Irish Language Act?
I think one of our MPs probably made the position fairly clear about an Irish Language Act and our party's view of it towards the end of last year. The fact is that there is no appetite for it anywhere in the unionist community. I have not come across any significant body. Now, you'll find the odd person here, the odd person there, but the overwhelming majority of unionist people simply say that this would be divisive and it would be expensive. She talked also about setting up areas, which would be Gaeltacht. And one of whom she referred to, of course, the example in West Belfast. I can recall some years ago the attempt being made by Sinn Féin and Irish language activists in West Belfast to actually tell us that their West Belfast Gaeltacht included the Royal Victoria Hospital and that they therefore wanted Irish language signs up in the Royal Victoria Hospital because that was part of their Gaeltacht. They wanted Irish language signs at one point up in Belfast City Cemetery because that was part of their Gaeltacht. This is about building little empires, independent Republican Irish-speaking empires for themselves. It's divisive, it's dangerous, it's damaging. And how do you deal with the issue of fair employment? All these jobs that are going to be created, hundreds of jobs, translators, the length and breadth of the land, and the only people who will be able to apply to for them effectively, because the number of Irish speakers within the unionist and Protestant community is extremely small.
Well, she wants to change that, she says.
Well, she hasn't had much success so far. Let's speak realistic about this. It would be impossible to implement this in the way that she does. Another example came, I remember a couple of years ago, there a court case in Dublin where somebody demanded that a court case be heard in Irish. And it was actually ruled out because you couldn't get enough people who were fluent in all of the aspects of the language to deal with all the nuances of a legal case. We'd be going into a situation where you'd have court cases being heard in Irish, you'd have bilingual signage up all over the place, you would have translators, and companies would be coerced into dealing with that. I was in Wales a couple of years ago and speaking to someone who ran a small business, and he was commenting on the fact that it was very difficult to meet the requirements of their language act because the cost to their business was so considerable. It was a financial burden and a drain. We want our businesses to be competitive. We don't want to go into a job creation scheme organised by Sinn Féin.
So when the minister says that she has approached the whole idea around Ulster Scots with an open heart, and she hasn't seen a similar response from you, she wants to see an approach from you with an open heart and an open mind. What do you say to
her? She's simply diverting attention to the fact we're here talking about an Irish Language Act.
Yeah, but is it all a waste of money then? I mean, her strategy for Ulster Scots, is that a waste of money too?
Well, we haven't seen it.
But when it comes, will it be a waste of money?
Well, we haven't seen it.
But will it be a waste of money? Would a consultation on Ulster Scots be a similar waste of money?
To do anything in a strategic way is a good thing. It's right to have strategies. It's right to do things in a strategic way. This is being used, the Irish language is being used by Sinn Féin for their own ends. We had the education minister the other week taking £140,000 out of other things at a time when he's under pressure, he says, and handing it over simply for Irish medium youth clubs. Now, 1% of children go to Irish medium schools. So if you scale the thing up, the equivalent would be £14 million going into youth services.
Yeah, but it's a pretty small figure in the big scheme of things.
For a very small number of children. A very small number. But proportionately, that's the scale of it. Now, if you can have a minister running around, and we see it there with John O'Dowd, we see it with Carolyn McKillen, and with other Sinn Féin ministers, they seem to have this desire to pursue an agenda that is notoriously divisive, extremely expensive, and at the end of the day, isn't going to go anywhere.
So the message is from you, no matter what comes out of this consultation, no matter what happens, no matter what she says, the DUP's position on this is never going to change. When it comes to the Irish Language Act, it will never be supported by the DUP.
I believe that an Irish Language Act would be so damaging that it would be extremely foolish of anyone to start supporting it.
It would never be supported by the DUP.
I will not be supporting it, I can assure you of that.
Which is slightly different. It would never be supported by the DUP.
Who's going to advocate for an Irish Language Act?
So, pie in the sky. The
party has made that absolutely clear.
Stephens and Derry this morning, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Nelson McCausland, I know you have another pressing engagement. Thanks for coming in. That's the DUP Culture Committee Chair, Nelson McCausland. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Joel.
How are you this morning? Hope you're not snowed in.
Yeah, it's pretty bad up here, Joel. We've just about made it here in the town, but that's not my point. My point is towards Nelson, really. It's a pity that he's had to leave the discussion there, but you know, I'm listening very carefully, and I do agree to some degree with him that, you know, cost is an issue when it comes to these things, because at this time, you know, we're all struggling. There's times of austerity and all the rest of it. But, you know, he talks about it being divisive, about the Irish Language Act being divisive. Is there anything any more divisive than Orange Order parades at the moment? You know, we can all pick and choose things that are divisive within our society. So I think that the cost around security of Orange parades is something we could be looking at saving money. And at the end of the day, what he needs to do is he needs to reach out the hand and not take everything that's orange in this country, but also some things that might be green, and, you know, and add a wee bit of goodwill to Catholics and nationalists in this country, because, believe it or not, Joel, we all have to live together.
Stephen, thanks for your call this morning. Morning to Paul.
Hello, Paul Burns here.
Yes, go on ahead, Paul.
I text earlier on just to say that I was raised in Tochmona, which is a well-known Protestant estate in South Belfast, and though I've holidayed in Donegal all my life, and ended up, my daughter met a guy from up there who's an Irish speaker, and he now lives up there, and I've been taking lessons in Dundonald High School, and my opinion is that the more Protestants that get familiar or learn the Irish language, it'll take it away from the likes of Sinn Féin, their ability to use it as a sort of weapon or a bullet.
And that's a phrase that the minister said, that's language that she wouldn't use, of course, now, and that her free. But do you feel it's important to you that you get an understanding and learn the language?
I think the more of us that do, yes, the less it can be used, is that type of thing.
Okay, but, I'm only hurrying you on because there are a lot of calls in this, and I don't want to keep the news too late. Anne-Marie Foster's in front of me here. Mervyn's in Lisburn. Morning, Mervyn.
Hi, Joe. I just listened to McCausland there. He's a hypocrite. They were done on Monday, they sat down and they selected a Sinn Féin IRA man to the Speaker of the House. What's the difference? They might as well sell the rest of their Protestant side.
Okay, Paul's on the line this morning as well. Another Paul, morning to you.
Good morning, Joel. Martin Moy. Joel, I'm 37 years of age and tonight I am going to start Irish classes in the Culture Lamb. And basically, I haven't done Irish from a bizarre school. So I'm taking my 14-year-old daughter, who was extremely happy this morning that myself and her were getting together to do this. I mean, I live in a predominantly unionist area, and I don't have any problems when I see the orange men marching up outside my house. I know there's money put forward for that and stuff, but I mean, everybody has to live. You know, and I just don't see where Nelson McCausland's coming from here.
Okay, Paul, I'm only hurrying you on because we're short for time. I can give Michael 20 seconds. Michael, go ahead.
I just think, first of all, nobody's seen the act, so nobody what's in it. It's a consultation stage, and that money for the consultation should be used for core services, and maybe when we're back to prosperity, she can come back to the consultation and have money to spare.
OK. Michael, very concise. That's the sort of callers that we like. Get their points across